Support for Commodity Week comes from the Friends of WILL and from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. With crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the July 19 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists this week include Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Merrill Crowley from Midwest Market Solutions. He's in Watseka, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Kurt, I think I want to start with you. What's kind of on your list of things you'd like to discuss for the week?
Well, there's a lot of moving parts, but I think at this point in time, probably need to shift focus on actual price and maybe start to focus on return per acre with the more bushels involved compared to last winter. I know a lot of guys are wishing we'll get back up to where we were, but I think we need to take another fresh look at grain marketing at this point.
Now stay with me for just a moment on that, because that really is price times bushels. Right now you're looking out for both corn and soybeans in a large part of the Corn Belt. There are some exceptions, but in a large part of the Corn Belt at really big yields potentially.
For the most part, yes. There's some problem areas such as Texas, Missouri particularly. If you look at that drought index, it's got a big red glob over Missouri. And then you get Michigan. They've been a little too wet. So I know there's situations where guys don't have the bushels, but for the most part, you got the bushels. It's a whole different ball game, even at these lower prices.
So are you talking about making catch-up sales, cash sales at this point in time?
I think with the extra bushels, you do look at sort of protecting that. But two, as you move into this fall, I think you got to look at your bottom line. If you got commercial storage or on-farm storage, there is some carry in the marketplace out to July, particularly on beans, as much as 37, 38 cents there. There's even some strategies where you could come in and just completely cash in at this level and do some replacement.
Merrill Crowley, what's your thought on the things we ought to discuss for the day?
I was looking at discussing some of the things that we keep talking about. Well, we got dryness here, wetness here, and it kind of falls in line with what Kurt wants to talk about in the relation of what are we going to look for, how price is going to work, what are you going to see on the report coming up for yields, and what is different? We all keep talking about, you know, things that would hurt our crop. What's different?
So what do you mean by that, what's different?
Always have dry areas. Always have two wet areas. Always have, you know, yield questions. But I guess what I'm looking at this year, what's different is the population counts are super in most areas. What's different is, got an agronomist talking about potash and the fact that the corn crop's been moved along by the heating days and it won't be uptaking the potash like it normally did, which could cut the yields. Now, is that something that's different or just something because of our new technology we're just understanding now? Then you also have the ideas of the drowned out areas, how big, how bad. So, you know, what's so different this year that we would think that the weather is really going to change things for us?
Wayne Nelson, you, what's on your list?
What's Sonny Perdue going to do? That's on my list. I'd like to know what we're going to have. Are we going to have a reserve? Farmer-owned reserve for soybeans, like one of our old colleagues was suggesting? Are we going to have a payment? We've been told that, you know, by Labor Day, we're supposed to hear something from Sonny. Will we see some breakthroughs in the tariff talks before then? Or what? Or what's going to happen along the way? And will the farmer be hurt if he does make some sales now, and we do come along with those later, and it's only on new sales? All of that's a moving thing, like Kurt says. A lot of things going on. But they promised us that. Sonny's promised us that. And Sonny's good for his word.
Well, I have a question about that. So let's see what we've all heard on this issue. This week, if you've been listening to the closing market report, Chuck Grassley in his weekly phone call with reporters was asked about the CCC. That is one of the potential ways, the Commodity Credit Corporation, that producers might be reimbursed in some form, though I don't know that all are really excited about a loan process. However, Chuck Grassley says if that is large enough and has to go through Congress, there's no way that Congress will pass such a bill.
That's very true, Todd. I mean, they're not going to go out here and take a small section of voters, which the farmers are a very small section of voters, and give them all that money and say, oh, this tariff hurt other people too. Are we going to reimburse them? So we have to do something that doesn't have to go through Congress that they can do to prop up this. I think the best thing they can do is get their act back to the table and get to negotiating.
So you're still hopeful that some kind of trade agreement can be put forth. I guess maybe the best option is a simple bilateral trade agreement with Mexico?
I think it'd be great if we could get Mexico back on board here in the next couple weeks. You know, that's our number one corn importer. Have you seen what it's done to the hog market? Have you seen that they buy the majority of, you know, a lot of our hog parts and things that way? And China was buying the offal as far as the beef and everything went along. Those are two great big things. We're talking about grain farmers in most cases. The livestock farmers have been hurt terribly, terribly bad. And we need to open this market back up. Surprisingly enough, the new Mexican president seems to be open to talking.
Surprisingly enough, indeed. And not only open to talking, but he'd prefer that happen before he gets into office.
I think that we ought to take advantage of every time anybody wants to do something. You know, if you have something, you didn't think you wanted to sell it, but somebody comes along and they really want to buy it, that's probably the best price you're ever going to get. So let's take advantage of him wanting to negotiate.
Okay, so here we are on a Thursday night. We've had four good days on the marketplace. Don't know what happened on Friday at this point. And when we talked to Dan Zwicker on Thursday afternoon, and I'll check with you on the charts, he was saying, hey, to me, this may be an area that, since we've been running early anyway, we might have a bottom for the year.
Well, hopefully that's the case. Technically, we came down to some longer-term levels that we didn't think we would get down to, and here we are. We saw some nice little reversals up. The momentum indicators are kind of switching and trying to turn up in through here. When you look at short-term in through here, the way we closed, we're halfway back up to the July high. So we might kind of consolidate in here, but as long as we can make some higher highs and higher lows, it looks good technically. Fundamentally, it might be a little early. There's still a lot of old crop grain out there to sell yet, and we got to get cleaned up on that. But as far as a low, I think the technicians and end users will start to look for pullbacks towards these last lows to accumulate some inventory.
We're on the tail end of the wheat harvest. Have we decided that we can lead this through?
Well, I hope Mike's right. I've been waiting for that for some time, but the voice of the tomb says be long July wheat as early as July 1st in through here. We're watching December wheat. If we can hold $5, I think the game's on to the upside here. If you look at worldwide wheat production, it's a little bit on the decline. The supermarket to the world, as far as prices, the Black Sea regions, there could be some issues there. But we'll see how Australia fares as we move forward.
Merrill Crowley, when you think about the yields across the whole of the United States, where are you suspecting that most traders are putting that, and what has been priced in Chicago for corn?
I think most of it's been priced in 178 to 182. You know, the question mark is how much the dryness or the wetness has taken off the crop. But we've got this super population out there, and I have to keep coming back to that. And one of the reasons I come back to it, it comes into the discussion of where's the low. And I agree completely with what Kurt says. We might have another 20, 30, 40 cents lower on the corn, but that's going to depend on what yield we get. Well, August is a yield, a bushel count. You know, not a bush, I'm sorry, an ear count. If it's an ear count and we have huge populations, and as I drive along, I don't see many gaps anywhere on the outsides. And if that's the case, we have a large ear count out there, then I think we're going to get a bushel or a per acre yield number that's going to push us back into new lows again at least one more time. I also think that yield number that we get is very likely to be the high water mark of the year.
I haven't looked this up, and I don't know whether any of the rest of you have or not, but I'm thinking population counts last year were high at around nationwide, maybe 28,600. That seems to stick in my mind for some reason. But they'll start out in August higher, and then they sort of ratchet back through the year. So this could be a big number, I suppose, a really big population number when we get to that August figure, in your opinion.
And that's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah, and so if it's a very big number, is 180 too high enough?
It may not be. I hate to push things too far out into the envelope. Last year's was 176.6. You know, you could go two and a half over that, and there you are. You're back up to 179.18.
Well, Merle, you got to go to the middle of the field. You just can't drive by and say, look good on the outside there.
But Merle's right in this case. The populations are really high, and that this year at the beginning of the year, while we had kind of an interesting start, just the numbers and the stands look fantastic. When you look across any field in Illinois, Iowa, she's flat and just beautiful.
Well, last year you guys said it wasn't no good and came back and said, oh, it's much better than I thought. So we still got a little bit of the growing season to go. Now, part of that was to the cool August, that final fill. So we got a little bit of weather to go. If it's cool, yes, you're right. We're going to have some big numbers to work through. But we have to have big numbers because if we don't have 180 bushels plus, and if this demand continues to stay where it's at, if not grows, it's going to be hard to push this ending stocks much above 2 billion bushels, though. So that's still game on, and we're still looking at a tight situation in the world. So, yes, we've got some bushels to work with, but you got to remember, demand's under the market.
You know, when we're down in the 1.5, 1.6 area, 2 billion bushels sounds pretty big again.
Looking at the weather, the guy I like to follow is talking about 60-day cycles. There's proof that we're seeing that. That means we're moving into a 60-day cycle with cooler weather for August. Now, cooler weather happens to also be drier weather, and you may not see the rain, so that's questionable. But what we found out, especially last year, is cool and dry is a lot better than hot and dry.
You know, Todd, Merrill must have all of his customers short, and he's waiting for a dip to buy back. But, you know, along the way, I think that this weather market is yet to be determined because we haven't had the August weather. Merrill is right that the forecast looks that way, but it looks dry. I think that along the way, this is the best crop I've ever seen. I think we're going to probably look at big yields. But I'll tell you what, until we can get some of this tariff stuff regulated, Mexico straightened around, we've still had such a dip that I think there's a chance for a 50% retracement of where we started. We looked at one of the guys that we watch looked at 20-year charts, and we were looking. And basically, we generally don't, you know, blow $3 isn't going to be good. We went down to 328, I think, in the July contract, or 310, three quarters, I think. And so, I mean, I think that we are going to actually climb on out of here with a little bit of help from the tariffs being straightened around and some good negotiations done. There is, like Kurt said, corn is a demand market. The wheat is short. Wheat's going to lead the way out a little bit. The beans will depend on whether China comes back to the U.S.
Well, Merrill, if you've got everybody short, you've got $2 in profits in your soybeans, you've got 60 cents profit in your corn, where do we really go from here?
Well, anytime you find a low, if you get a low, first of all, it usually gets tested. Now, by tested, does it have to go all the way back to the low? No. But what I've seen a lot of times when you get a low or a high, the market moves back to the 236 or 382. The 236 is like 369, and 380, I believe, is a 382 retracement. After you reach those levels, then you pull back, and you test that by coming back anywhere from 50% to almost 618, sometimes even 80%. So you kind of can see that with the particular setup. We're rallying now. We get the report. Bam, you get a big number. It moves it back down. We start to get into the field in about middle September. Yields start coming out. You also get the September report, which is more accurate. You also have Tip Flory out on his tour of the corn crop. So you got a whole lot of things coming in that could say, okay, we back off on this. And people say, well, we can't really believe it's too big a number. After all, this is the time of year, July. Is the time of year when everything's too dry and asserting the crop, and August is the time of year when the USDA says stupid things and high yields.
All right, so a couple things I want you to explain real quick. Everybody charts just a little bit here, but the 618, I like to do the 62%, but these are retracement levels. They're Fibonacci numbers. Tell me what that really means.
Well, there's one successful trader way back when, and one of the things he looked at is when you see a big move and a reversal or a change in trend the other direction, it's going to move back so far. And it's Fibonacci, and he came up with three different numbers, a 38% retracement, a 50% retracement, and a 0.618, well, I rounded off to 62% retracement. And so if you kind of look at these retracement levels and these technicians and the funds kind of follow this, they kind of fulfill themselves sometimes. So you kind of look for those levels as a point to migrate to or be a support or resistant level.
Yeah. So also, when you look back at the charts, that 370 area, 470 area, those are areas that the market, at least for corn, tends to be stopped or supported, either one, depending on whether we're going up or down.
Yeah. Now, what I'm looking at is just a little shorter term. I'm taking little baby steps in here. And if you look at the July highs versus these last lows, if you look at halfway back up to the July high and December corn at 380, that puts you at 365. If we can stay above the 65, then we can go like 368. Then after that, then you can look at the bigger retracement level of that 80 cents we lost. Then you can start plugging those in. On the beans, this 862 level is halfway back up to the July high here of 897. And also this 865 level, you guys don't remember, but that was a major low 3 years ago.
All right, so we have some points that we can aim for. When we were talking to Dan Zwicker on Thursday afternoon, he gave us 915 as a potential point that we could get to. I kind of thought that was funny. I was thinking 915, that's on the upper side. That didn't seem like a very high price.
No, it didn't, especially after we were worried about buying $10 calls just a month ago. The other thing we're going to look at here is the corn ratings noted is the best fit for analog years. 2018 corn yield would be in the 174 to 179 bracket, and depending on how our weather finishes out, whether we go towards the 179 or the 174. So probably that 174, 175, if we don't see a lot of rain here to finish out the crop, would be where I'd be looking at.
Yeah, Dan's got a real good computer. It does automatically. I still do it by hand. But the 915 falls in line if you take the big move from the 1060 and a half high to this last low of 826. That's like $2.34. So if you look at the big move, the major move, 38% back up to that high is 915.
Okay, so I want to get around the table here with each of you. About this time of year, farmers are looking forward. They've been maybe out into their crop, done some counts. They have a pretty good idea whether they've got at least 50 or 60 or 70% of a crop or what kind of crop they're looking at. And many of them like to have something like half of their crop sold by the time they head to the scale or they begin harvesting. I'm going to guess that's going to happen in the first week of September this year because of how warm we have been, though if we had a really cool August, that could slow down. So what should producers do about making additional cash sales, and do you have other options for them in mind?
Well, first of all, they need to have an idea of what kind of yield they're looking at because it's probably going to be surprising in most areas. So that'll help you with selling maybe more at these levels. I don't really want a price here and be locked into a level. I want flexibility in my pricing. I'd like to have calls, or I'd like to do hedges with stops up ahead on top. And that's, you know, it's because of the danger of you've got this whole thing coming up from, let's say, January. And the January ending stocks that we had in a 2017-18 crop versus where we're at right now with the July ending stocks of 2018-19 is over about $900 million in drop. What was the biggest part of that drop? Exports. $500 to $600 million of that was exports. That means the demand has been there like the USDA is talking about. You look at where your sales are at. We're right in line with what the USDA was pushing, and they were pushing big numbers. So I don't want to get trapped down here. And I'm a little concerned about actually making cash sales unless you've got some calls in place or unless you do something like a hedge to arrive that you can get out of.
Well, the simple fact comes down to, Todd, how are your cash flows doing and how much do you have sold for fall delivery and how much cash do you need during that time period? I have no problem making some cash sales for that for the early time period if I don't have bin room and I need some cash. Now, what we're looking at doing is we're doing some three-way options. You know, we were buying like March 350, 360 calls, selling 410 calls, by selling $3 puts, something like that, that can give you 50, 60 cents upward momentum, or that we could go up there and capture that. So, I mean, along the way, let's look at cash flow. These bankers are not going to tolerate you not having some money to pay down on your loans. If you have no cash flow for fall, you can't carry it clear out to July.
You know, when the market goes down, you never have enough sold. When it goes up, you've always got too much sold. That's just Murphy's Law in general. But in this case, the theory is we're going to have extra bushels. If you got on-farm storage, you're going to fill the bin. If you do that, I'd look at some carry opportunities on it further out. Up front here, you just got to push the pencil. What's the basis situation you're in? Like Wayne said, what's the cash flow situation in? You got a pencil, am I going to go ahead and pay the 20, 25 cents for commercial storage? There's quite a few strategies in here to look at, but I don't believe in giving up total ownership down here at these levels. I think you got to have some type of replacement strategy that some of those were mentioned by Wayne and Merrill.
Before we began our program, we were talking a little bit about crop insurance and some of the things that have happened in the past. In 2012, I believe there was a push to cover the potential crop insurance payouts because we were at a fairly low price, relatively speaking, in 2012. And more importantly, we were thinking we have a pretty good sized drought on our hands at this point and making some really big assumptions about whether that would carry through. This year, we don't have something that's going to affect yield in that way, although we have the tariffs in place. And the bet would be, do we lift those tariffs? And if so, does the price go higher? And can we protect that crop insurance payment at this point? Is there any reason for producers to consider this as we look forward?
With the price drop we've seen a lot of juice sucked out of the call option side. But yeah, if you're wanting to play that strategy, there are some purchases out there that could be made, and you want to give yourself enough time to get through the end of the crop price determining period. You don't want to buy a real short dated one, then all of a sudden the next day or two off she goes.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of buying insurance like a call to pay cover insurance like the crop insurance program. If you're going to buy calls, you should be looking to buying calls to take advantage of any increase on price, allow you to sell. Because if you buy calls, you sell, you take what, 20, 25% of your money and keep it working for you in the market, and you're able to get that cash that you need to pay off your costs.
Yeah, so here, I'm going to come back to something else. I was thinking about this a little bit, but in particular for soybeans, but for both crops, it's about cash needs for producers as they go through the end of the year, and of course they'll have many bills that are due, how much storage they actually have on site, on the farm, and how much they can fill that up. So I suppose they're thinking at this point, I really need to fill my bins with corn and soybeans, and I've got to have a strategy that gives me a little cash so I can pay, or maybe a lot of cash so I can pay my bills. But I'm thinking I'm going to need to hold my crop, am I right, through a much lengthier time than I normally would.
The best bet is to go talk to your banker and see if he's going to give you money or let your loan go through that. I think that a banker that's well informed is a happy banker and a more generous banker, and one that gets surprised is a mean banker. So I think that it's just like anything along the way. Keep him informed. Talk to him about all this. There is nothing wrong if you figure that your yield and what your APH is, and down here that you can maybe lock in a insurance payment for it like that. I have no problem paying for that call if it pays, and it looks like you can do that. But let's also figure what that top yield might be. Do you really have a claim down here? If we increase 40 bushels over your APH, it isn't just 15% of the price off, Todd. So, you know, there's a lot of things to look at and moving parts, as Kurt likes to use that phrase, as to look at what's doing. But don't shy away from that if you can figure that it pays you and you can lock in something. I think along the way also, I think there is carry in this market. I think there's great opportunity. I think there's a great opportunity because we have midterm elections coming up, and we're going to get something done. We aren't going to abandon the farmer totally. We aren't going to, and I mean, you might have to have that grain in storage or somewhere to get the payment we're talking about. So I think just moving ahead and saying life's terrible, we need to move stuff, I think we can look for a couple good things to happen. I mean, basically along the way, I think that that we've looked here and said there's generally a 50% retracement. We aren't anywhere near that yet. So when we get to that level, then we start doing the movement of corn or selling some corn or buying some puts. Right here, I sit on it.
Yeah, one thing to keep in mind, too, when we mentioned crop insurance quite a few times, you got to remember that only takes us into the fall. So if you're going to store this thing for a little bit longer term, you're going to be subject to downside price risk as we go into year-end and into 2019. So make sure you got a long-term plan.
Now let's turn our attention to your final words. We'll start with you, Merrill Crowley of Midwest Market Solutions.
You know, I think there's been a lot of good ideas of what to do with your crop and how to look forward as we move into harvest. There's a couple of bearish things that I see on the immediate horizons. One, I think the report will be a bearish item. You're also going to see a lot of people having to decide whether or not they're going to keep their corn or roll it into next year as we get to the end of August, because there's still a lot of corn being stored unpriced. So I would look for ways to get stuff priced, utilize my storage to the best of my ability, and look at some ways to price that corn, get most of your cash, and use the board to take the rest of your risk.
Well said, but for those of you at home keeping track, on July 21st is the best day to brew. Begin a diet to gain weight, to demolish, and buy a home.
All right. Kirk Kimble, of course, is with Bates Commodities. He's out of Normal, Illinois. Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Your final word for the day?
Well, hopefully we can finish out the week well tomorrow. But the big thing is going to be the reaction Sunday night. Will we have rain or will we have lack of it across everything going? I mean, this is the last real shot of rain for 10 days over this weekend. And if we would get spotty rains, not general rains like they're forecasting, and a lot of different things like that, I think then that we will probably rally a little bit. Or will the lows hold? Or will they be penetrated to the downside? If they get penetrated to the downside, I think that probably for a short term, we want to have some stops underneath this market. And if we can let it go and then get up there and then put your sell stops underneath the market.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online. Listen to the whole of our program on WILLAG.org, on demand anytime you'd like. Our thanks go to our panelists this week, including Midwest Market Solutions' Merrill Crowley. He's out of Watseka, Illinois. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. And Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois.